unlocked the door, bitch. I'm on my way. And I got kicked in the grass.
I don't know why they call them chasers. It's not like Cubs can run real fast.
Double vodka with hot brownie chasers.
He just wanted to watch me eat it. Naked.
I can't say that. That's dirty.
Chasers will do anything to get into your pants. I love them.
Stop.
Hey there, welcome to Chubbs Gone Wild, episode 534, recorded on March 12th, 2024. And it is currently 63 degrees and cloudy outside the Chubbs Gone Wild remote studios, where it is 19 days till Easter, 233 till Halloween, and a mere 288 days until the next Christmas. Christmas 2024. Ah! Anyway, let's talk about Patreon. Patreon offers folks a way to support creators and receive rewards not open to the general public, like special podcasts, videos, books, and more. And we want to thank our current patrons, Clint, Nephi, Nick, and Dujestas, Edge from the Universe, Eric, Sean, Phoenix Dave, Brothers and Adis, Kingsley, Kathy Bacon, and Moose P. Visit patreon.com/Matt Burlingame to find out how you can support us for as little as a dollar a month. And speaking of support, let's send some support to Kathy Bacon, because it is Bacon Month. Yes, we are in the middle of Bacon Birthday Month, and you know what? We're going to end up shorting her an episode, because you're going to be gone. You're going on a big, awesome trip to the Big Apple. Are you excited?
I mean, No, we already discussed that.
But not on the show. So
I'm too panicked with anxiety to be thinking I'm having a good time.
Okay.
Imagine yourself on a plane and going to New York. I am right now. Just imagine that. I am you right now.
Well, then I completely feel sorry for you.
And last night, as you know, if you ever, you know, read your text and answered me, I haven't had diarrhea in months. And last night it ran all night long. I was up every hour with diarrhea, and it was 12 hours and I still had diarrhea. Diarrhea.
Oh, dear.
And it's nothing I've eaten. I'm sure it's just nerves. I just haven't been to New York in a long time. And thank you, Moose, for the hints on how to deal with transportation to and from the airport and the rest of that. That was very helpful. But still, I have anxiety. So, okay, there we go.
Okay. Well, I am very sorry for your anxiety. If anybody, I am going to understand that. So, what was I going to ask you? Moose P, figuring out how to get there. Huh. Thought there was something else. Oh, well, we'll think of it later.
Kathy Bacon's birthday.
Well, yes, always thinking about Kathy Bacon's birthday, because that is what we do in March.
I made bacon twice this week and thought of her both times.
Aww. Did I make bacon this month? No, I think it was last week I made some bacon for my mom. Actually, I may have another thing of bacon in there. I should make her some. So, okay, today's affirmation. Take a deep breath, please, and let it out. I now move into a new era of prosperity and abundance. Thank you, life. It's wonderful. I really appreciate that. I would like to see some of that prosperity and abundance starting today. So, yay.
Oh, I was saying, I never heard one of these things that felt more like my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
All right. Well, on March 12th, 1933, eight days after his inauguration, President Franklin D. Roosevelt gives his first national radio address, or fireside chat, broadcast directly from the White House. Also, on March 12, 1876, the first discernible speech is transmitted over a telephone system when inventor Alexander Graham Bell summons his assistant in the other room by saying, "Mr. Watson, come here. I want you." Bell had received a comprehensive phone patent just 3 days before. So, two things that have, led to us doing this, basically. Podcasting is a direct descendant from those two inventions. So,
okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see if we celebrated any holidays accidentally, because I know we don't go out of our way to celebrate those trivial things. Today is Girl Scout Day. I have not even had any Girl Scout cookies this year. So,
me either. I don't, yeah, I mean, they're fine, but I feel bad because I like the Samoas. But how much are they now? $5, $6 a box?
I guess, pretty much, probably.
And Costco at this time period always has a 3-pack of the Keebler's Coconut Delights, and they're like $6 for 3 boxes.
Yep, and taste absolutely the same.
Oh, they're exactly the same. They even have a mint one. They don't look the same, but they taste the same. The Keeblers do. So, you know, and they're a lot less. I feel bad, but I don't want to pay. I mean, I see people, you know, buy, you know, 10 boxes, and I'm like, I'm not spending $50 for cookies I can get for under 20. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, you're supporting the organization and girls having the opportunity to go do girly things in the woods or something, I guess. But yeah, same. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
It's also National Alfred Hitchcock Day. I have not hitched any cocks today. It's also Baked Scallops Day. Nope, not me. National Milky Way Day? No, it was a Reese's Day for me. Also, Organize Your Home Office Day. Yeah, I'm going to say chances are low on that, but it's a possibility. Also, Plant Flower, Working Moms, World Day Against Cyber Censorship. It's an important day. And that's it. Sorry. It's a bust.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Womp womp. But I bet we have some amazing birthdays of amazing people that we're going to celebrate aside from the amazing Kathy Bacon. Well, that's right. Today's birthday, happy birthday, Barry. Also, upcoming birthdays, happy birthday to Tina, Greg, Troy, Michael, David, Paj. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Jose, Aaron, Mike, Marcus, Andy, posthumous birthday to Cal Ryder. Such a loss. Also to Nika, Colleen, Owen, and Nadine. Happy, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Okay. Well, we don't have anything in our feed bag this time. But we do have some chub hugs that we want to send out, I'm sure. Of course, starting with happy, happy congratulations to Christina Hill, who graduated or is about to graduate from all her years of schooling.
It's very exciting.
I know. It's wonderful. And I was very privileged to receive one of the graduation photos, and yeah, I mean, that's just really cool. I remember when she went back to school, and you know, we were all supporting her and pushing for her, and here we are. Wow. Oh, anyway, I know we have some other stuff going on there. Also, I want to send one out to Scott. Our Scott MC, he knows who he is.
So I know who he is.
Yes. And what do you got going?
Wait, what are we sending him love for? What's going on?
I don't know if that's something we need to disclose right now. So,
okay, cool. For me, basically, you know, for Lily, who was nominated for Best Actress, that didn't get the best, that didn't get the award. It went to Emma Stone, and all they've done for the last 3 months is go on and on about she'll be the first, you know, Native American indigenous person nominated for Best Actress. And you know, they kept giving her the awards, the precursor awards. And then, you know, I mean, everybody was, they even moved the Best Actress to right before Best Picture because it was going to be a big deal. And then it didn't happen. So I feel bad for her because it's just kind of like, you know, they promise you the world and then they give you shit. I always feel bad for those folks that are, sure, they're for sure. There's no way. It's like a couple years ago when Chaz, what was his name? Buswick?
Boswick.
Yes, and they even put the Best Actor after Best Picture. It was the last award of the evening, and then it went to Anthony Hopkins instead of posthumously to him, and it was horrible. I felt horrible over the whole thing. So I really feel for Lily. And I mean, she's a huge winner out of this. She may not have gotten the award, but she won big time. They were talking to the guy from Goonies and Indiana Jones, who won supporting actor last year. And he was saying, "Oh, I'm at home." And my wife goes, "Oh, there's a phone call and it's my agent." So I get on the phone. My agent goes, "Oh, so-and-so's sending you a script." And he goes, "Why?" And he goes, "Cause he wants you, he's considering you for this part and he wants you to read the script." "He does?" You know, it's just like, what? Oh my God, you're kidding me. And he said that, so the Oscar made a huge difference in his career. So that's good. But otherwise, of course we're still, you know, sending out hugs to all the people who are in war-torn areas right now. It's just, to me, it's like, I can't even imagine it here in this country, although sometimes it feels close, but just to have these places that are constantly in war, you know, can you imagine having every single day sound like the 4th of July?
Ugh.
Yeah. So, anyway, so that's it for me.
Okay.
Let's talk
also,
about.
Let's send a quick chub hug out to our friend Ouija, who is sick again.
Oh, no.
Yep.
What's he got?
Hopefully, just a generic cold, and he seems to be on the tail end of it, but it hit him hard over the weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a friend in Nevada, and she's had the flu, and it kicked her on her ass, and it's like, really? I just don't think of her getting out that much to get the flu. So,
yeah.
I did not realize that Eric Carmen died.
I know, actually, yeah, it came as quite a surprise to me too. Let's see, he died over the weekend of March 9th. He was 74, and he is best known for the songs "All by Myself" and "Hungry Eyes." And actually, I had to go and listen to "All by Myself" this morning because it's such a beautiful song, and I'd forgotten just how beautiful of a song it is.
Yeah.
Carl Wallinger, the Welsh singer who led the band World Party, died. He was 66. Steve Lawrence, the Grammy winner, best known for his act with late wife Edie Gourmet, died following complications from Alzheimer's disease on March 7th at the age of 88. You know, they were everywhere when I was growing up. I was a little kid and I knew who they were.
On Carol Burnett, on, you know, Sonny and Cher show.
Love
on
both.
If there was a variety show, they were on it.
Yep. And then on the nanny would have them. Like she'd go to Las Vegas and she would think that they were not interpreters, what impersonators of themselves. And
Well, and don't forget, in those days there was a whole lot more talk shows, and they did all of them constantly. Because, and it was interesting, in those days talk shows were different than they are now. In those days they had regulars that came on talk shows, and they were a regular on Mike Douglas and Merv Griffin and Johnny Carson, both nighttime and daytime shows. You saw them everywhere. You're right. So. And it's just how long has she been dead? Do we know?
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah, so well, they're doing a great act right now
Oh,
up
yeah.
in music heaven.
Let's see. Akira Toriyama, who created Dragon Ball, the Dragon Ball comics, died after suffering a blood clot on March 8th. He was 68. Jim Beard, the Steely Dan keyboardist, died on March 2nd at a New York hospital. He was 63. Garrison Brown, who is the son of Sister Wives star Janelle and Cody Brown, died at age 25 on March 5th from what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Chris Morris Mortensen, the ESPN NFL reporter, died on March 3rd. He was 72. Ann Whitfield, the White Christmas star, died on February 15th. Nick Sheridan, the BBC Scotland presenter, died at the age of 32 following a short illness. Kat Janis, the singer whose track Dance You Out of My Head went viral on TikTok, died February 28th following a battle with sarcoma, a rare form of cancer in soft tissue and bones. She was 31. And there were some others that were not super popular in America, I believe, but yeah, that's quite a list right there.
A lot of
All right.
people.
So, celebrity news. What do you think about I'm Just Ken performance?
I didn't think it was anything spectacular. I don't know why everyone was talking about it.
I thought it was really fun and very
Well,
gay.
it was fun, but
Yeah.
I mean, it was it. I mean, as far as the dancing goes, they were terrible. Trying to get all those guys in sync with the because they had the other other Kens on there as well, and it was like, oh my God, this is just a shit show, an enjoyable shit show, but a shit show. Yeah, the Oscars. Well, first of all, I didn't see that much of them. I just saw whatever clips they showed on YouTube because I don't have cable, and so and I didn't want to watch the. I don't want to watch a 3 hour show because 3 hours after the commercials are out on Hulu the next day because I know who all the winners are. What's the surprise? I did want to see the whole thing with the John Cena because don't they come out and dress him like all the dressers come out and go, oh my God, we got your clothes, and then they come and it's one of those quick dress things.
I have no idea. I just
Yeah,
know I saw him come out with a board and then another presenter something rush out. That's all I saw. That was enough. But yeah, no, I thought it was really great. I just thought it was funny how gay it was. Like him kissing people's hands and touching, just I loved it. I thought it was really fun. Okay, I mean it was no okay, what's his name?
how
Jim
much did you watch?
Bowser.
How much did you watch of the show?
Oh, that. I didn't
Oh,
watch the rest of it. Oof.
okay.
I mean, I understand, I would have understood you watching it because you've always been, that guy. I mean, you were in the movies, you know who won everything from the year back to dot, but for me, sitting through something like that was something I would have done as a kid, especially to watch the musical numbers and to see the celebrities. But now, when I can just go watch the parts I want to on YouTube, no, thank you. All right. And I thought I asked you something, did I?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right, well, citing anti-human trafficking measures, the state legislature of Florida has adopted a bill requiring strippers to be at least 21 years old. Both chambers of the legislature near unanimously passed the bill that would broadly apply to the business that would fall under the state's definition of adult entertainment, including strip clubs, burlesque shows, adult bookstores, and adult theaters. I don't really have a major problem with that, except that it's Florida. Moving
on. What, you think you're not able to be a stripper at 18?
No, I think it's perfectly fine, but I'm saying I don't have a huge problem with that.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I mean, granted, I think you could use the situation as you can't drink in there, so you shouldn't be able to work there.
Well, that's why I always thought it was a little odd that when they were able to have, like, 18-year-old bar backs, but well, you can't.
Yeah, but don't forget, they serve food, so it cancels that out.
Mm-mm.
No, they do.
Not where I'm talking about.
Strip clubs?
No. Oh, no, no, I wasn't talking about that. I was just talking about a regular bar.
Oh. At a regular bar, if they serve food, you can be under 21.
Oh, yeah. No, if they serve food.
That's why they almost all serve some kind of food, just to get away with that. Somebody that's 18 is going to need less money to survive than someone who's 21. Because they're more likely going to have a roommate or live at home, where when you get to be 21, you tend to be out of that. Well,
most not this people, generation.
Most people tend to get out of the house.
That's right. Well, anyway, Herstory is known about to be made when Drag Race Down Under makes a sensational comeback, premiering this year with none other than the global icon Michelle Visage steering the ship as the new host.
Global icon?
Well, she is because of RuPaul.
Oh, okay.
Look at how many shows and judging and everything that she's done.
RuPaul's.
She did that dreadful Queen of the Universe thing.
Yeah.
No. Along with Trixie. Was it Trixie? It was Trixie, wasn't it? Yeah. Trixie Mattel.
Yeah.
Man, she was a mean judge. Honest, fair, but mean.
Oh, how could you call her mean when you had that mean...
oh my gosh. Mean. The Spice Girl? Damn, yeah. she was beyond mean. She's just like, you're horrible.
Yeah, you call that singing? Because in that one, they actually
sing. For you. Yeah, all right. Well, Tom wants to talk to you about...
Well, on RuPaul's Drag Race this week, we did have... they did a song called Power, which was the power of voting. And that way, you know, people need to go out and vote and stop these idiots in places like the South that are, you know, are trying to criminalize drag in general. It's just, it's ridiculous. Right. It's just ridiculous. And believe me, I would much rather have a drag queen read a story to my children than Marjorie Taylor Greene. So not to say that that's a good, you know, comparison, but, you know, get your own house in shape before you start judging other people.
I'm just worried every time there's a tornado, somebody's going to drop a house on her.
Yeah. So anyway, there's everyone did really well, and they ended up not getting rid of anybody. So that was good.
Good.
And then on Pit Stop, it was Trixie Mattel. And I can't, you know, it's funny. I can't remember the queens that were there week to week, but it's almost a better show than Drag Queen, Drag Race, just because it's so, you know, funny. And And the guys that, well, when I say the guys, whoever does the production, the producing, the creative stuff, it's kind of like the old radio shows, you know, when the DJs would have all the sound effects and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they do special effects and sound effects that make everything all the more funny on Drag Race. So, or Pit Stop about Drag Race. So I always enjoy it. We watch it one after another. Since I can't watch Drag Race Friday, on Saturday I watch Drag Race and then Pit Stop right after it. Thank you. Let's see. This week, well, we'll talk about that later. The Traitors had their finale this week on Peacock, and the Faithfuls, two of the Faithfuls survived. Mm-hmm. It was really rude because they got down to the last three people, and two of the people had kind of been together the whole time. So they got rid of the third person, even though they were a Faithful and they knew she was a Faithful, but they got rid of her because they didn't want to split the money with her, which would have meant they would have gotten 33% less because that would have gone to her because it was split three ways, mm-hmm. but now it's only split two ways. So they got more money. They each got over $100,000.
Oh, wow.
So that was it, but it was good. It was because you really root for the Traitors, and it got really like insane at the end. It felt vicious and less fun, but I guess that's competition. So, and also on Peacock, I'm watching House of Villains, which is taking actually one of the people that was in the Traitors and put them on this one. And it's just, when you've got all the mean characters from a show, it's really hard to not pick one. You kind of get on a side, you know, but it's just, it all becomes so, cause there's nothing to the show except these are mean people and they're going to pick each other off. It's not like you got game. You do have games, but that's not part of the show. That just gives somebody, the ability to be the asshole that gets to get rid of people. You know, if you win the competition, then we spend the other, you know, 6/8 of the show, all being devious and cruel and mean to each other. So, it's got its pluses. You know, it's a good late night thing to watch. Mm-hmm. American Idol week two or week three, actually. And the talent just gets, it's just really good. I'm looking forward to the actual competition part, cause I know we've probably got at least a week or two left of the talent, and we didn't have a thing this week because the Oscars were opposite it, so we didn't get a new American Idol. Avatar, we finished the new Airbender. Have you been watching it at all?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It ends great. I mean, the whole thing was really interesting and good. I hope they pick it up for a second season because I always wanted to like the new Airbender. It was out there in all these different formats, but it was never in anything that I could follow the storyline or really enjoy it, mm-hmm. Especially with the cartoons, because the cartoons were never in order. You know, I can't watch it day to day to day to day and watch, oh, here's the storyline progression. I just would catch an episode and go, I don't know what's going on. So I really appreciated this, kind of like with the Percy Jackson. So, yeah. Let's see. We're into season three of Loudermilk, and at the end of season two, they had a child. A child comes into the show, who's actually Loudermilk's father's son. So it's his brother. So he's, you know, Loudermilk's probably 50 years old, and he's got a brother who's, you know, zero. So yeah, and then it's just like, oh god. The thing is, when you bring a child into a show, it's one thing if it's Modern Family, which is all about families, you know, dealing with the whole different dynamics of three different families and three different ages of children and how they've been raised. And that I can see that. But remember when what was it, Bill Cosby show, Whenever they introduce either a new child or a baby into the show goes to shit. Same thing happened to the Bradys, the Partridge Family. You go through years and years and years. Even on Blackish, when they brought in a baby in at the fourth season, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You only have one season left in you, because that's what the baby episode does. It means you're going to be off next season.
Growing pains.
They bring in a baby when there's no need for a baby, just so they can do a year's worth of baby shit.
Yep.
Hate it.
And the nanny, when she finally had her babies, they ended the show.
Yeah. Let's see. There was no Connors or Abbott. Well, there was an Abbott Elementary. If you watched the Oscars, it came on after the Oscars, and it was kind of a cute episode because they were trying to get Abbott to be. It's a school in Philadelphia. They were trying to get it to, you know, get a plaque and, you know, big deal to give it more funding. And so what happened was they found out that Abbott Elementary was named after William R. Abbott, who was a racist. And the school district's going, oh God, what are we going to do? I mean, all these people that these schools are named after have a little bit of racism connected to their name because of the time period. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, George Washington and Jefferson and Franklin, they're the biggest names in our country, yet they all had slaves. So they all have, you know, that connected to them. So they're like going, what can we do? So they finally found the grandson or the great grandson of the original William Abbott, and he's a flat earther.
He gets said,
well, you know, we can't have racism on this flat earth we live in. And they're like going, oh no. anybody that's vetted correctly, you know, it was very funny. But at the very beginning, they were doing show and tell, and Bradley Cooper showed up. So, and he goes, well, I'm doing a movie here, and my dad always says, if you ever go here, you got, you know, if you're ever in Philadelphia, you have to go to the place right across the street to get sandwiches. So that's where we were. And I met little Jimmy here, whatever his name was. And so we came over to talk, and all the women are like, oh God, he's so beautiful. Except for the principal, because, you know, you're not as good looking in person. I'm surprised. She's very funny. But anyway, Abbott Elementary, there's a new one. If you didn't know, or people don't know. So,
are you watching? I may be jumping ahead, but are you watching Animal Control season 2?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's see. Survivor, this week, they're still melting down the one tribe. You know, it never, you know, how, well, you've watched enough Survivor. Mm-hmm. When they have three tribes, one tribe is a piece of shit, and before they merge, almost all of them are gone.
Yeah.
And unless they try to blend them together, and then usually they're the first ones that leave on the new teams that they make up. So it's just, we're watching them just fall apart right now. And it's not only, you know, it's not only physical on them, it's psychological on them. It's just, It's kind of ugly to watch. We were actually, they spent so much time on this one team over the past 2 weeks that we were looking at one of the other teams, you know, when they flashed over to what they're doing, and we're going, who's that guy? I don't remember that white guy. Do you remember that white guy? And he goes, I don't remember that guy. You know, it's just, that's what happens when they concentrate on these awful teams. The other teams get really no notice until basically one of the teams starts to fail.
Yeah.
And that's too bad. I hate that we have to, you know, the shows are really focusing on who's losing and not who's winning. So anyway, Masked Singer was started last week. The first person that was demasked was Kevin Hart. He's an actor.
Yeah, I know.
And the thing about Kevin Hart is he kind of unmasked himself. Because he wanted, I know this because we've had a couple of these. They want to do the show, but they don't want to be on for more than just one episode. They want to get thrown right away. because they're either too busy or they're just not that good of a singer. Jean King, Buck, Jean, what's her name? The tennis player,
Billie Jean King.
Billie Jean King. She was on. She only did one episode, because she's not a great singer, but they wanted to bring her out there. She got, unmasked, and we were all like, oh, that's great. She sang Philadelphia Freedom, which, of course, as we learned last year, was a song written about her by Elton John. So that was really cool. But anyway,
What did Hart, what was his costume?
I don't remember.
Oh, because the only thing that I've seen this year is the bubble gum machine
Yeah.
one.
Well, the thing was that he came out and started talking and singing, and Sean goes, "That's Kevin Hart."
Oh,
And then once you know who they are, the costume kind of folds away.
Well, the height didn't give him away. It wasn't like a Munchkin costume.
Well, don't forget, you could have Danny DeVito, and he's shorter. So,
Oh, that's true. I like
yeah.
Danny DeVito, though.
And by the way, Kevin Hart's only 5'4". Danny DeVito's 4'10". And there's a lot of, well, and remember, I think Michael Jake Fox was 5'5". He was short.
I'm not dissing short men. I'm
No,
just
I know,
Kevin Hart.
but I'm just saying there's more than one short guy in Hollywood, and
True.
so you can't just go by how short he was. No, you heard it in his voice, his inflections, and the way he talks. Even though they change their voice when they're talking, it's like when Wendy Williams was on. It was like she started talking, even though her voice was like this. You're going, that's Wendy Williams, just because the way she phrases things, and you just know. We're on week two of So You Think You Can Dance. Actually, there was another one last night, but I won't see it until this week. And right now, we're getting used to the judges because it's all new judges. You still have Pat Daly; it's still the host, and you're bringing people in, and they're excellent. But because the first, and because Sean was going, well, this just is not as exciting. And I go, it's because the judges make it exciting the first few weeks, and then the dancers make it exciting once they start doing choreographed stuff and that. But the first few weeks was always the show itself and the judges being excited about all the new people that are coming in. And you just don't feel that when you don't know these people. Let's see. Over on the Food Channel, or Max, if you have Max, Tournament of Champions, which is basically the latest Iron Chef kind of show. Because what they do, they bring in 32 people, 32 celebrity chefs, and put them up against each other, and it's one win and you move on, one lose, you're out. So the first 4 weeks are just taking it from 32 to Sweet 16. And then the next two episodes will be 16 to 8, and then 8 to 4, and then they'll be down 4 to 1. So it's a, if you like cooking shows and cooking competitions, it's actually a really good show. Let's see, Spring Breaking Championship just started 2 weeks ago.
I was wondering about that.
I'm two episodes in, and let's just say the person who leaves on the second week should have probably gone the first week, but he went on the second week. So you can tell there's people that probably are perfectly good bakers, but they're not good competitive bakers. And because I always feel bad for that, because these people look terrible. Because, well, I've got a bakery at home, and I'm going to go home and I'm going to put up on the wall that I'm the, spring baking champion. Well, no, you're the first one that went home. That's what you did. So I feel bad for them, but it's just because they aren't competitive bakers. They just, I mean, you go up against Bobby Flay, you go up against Alex Voroshilov, you go up against, some of these people who, this is their job, is to win contests. It's not, I mean, they have restaurants, but their real job is to win contests. So, let's see. I'm also starting a new show on Netflix called Dinner with David Chang. Now, David Chang also has that spice show and that Dinner with Dave and John Legend's wife. They've got a, she's famous, Christy Teigen.
Oh, okay.
You didn't know they were married? You're a sad person. Okay. So Dave goes in and works on that show. Dave goes in and hangs out with the chef while she has guests eating dinner. But in a dinner with Dave, he's got celebrities, mostly comedians, and he makes food for them. And the one I watched, I've seen two of them. The first one was Nick Kroll and John Mulaney.
Okay.
Yes. They're both from Big Mouth. Really funny. Second one we watched was Ike Barinholt and Seth Rogen. And on that one, Dave Chang was taking common food, you know, like comfort food, junk food in some cases, and making it spectacular with caviar. If you've ever seen like the big container of caviar, it's like about 5 inches tall and it's round. So it's like a, I'm trying to think of something that's about that size, but there's really not anything that I can see right now that I can
a
think
candle.
Of. Yeah. Almost like a three tiered candle, a three wick candle. You know how they usually are, but it's filled to the brim with caviar, and he's scooping it out and flicking it like he put it across a Pizza Hut cheese pizza. That's all he put on, just caviar on top of it, and they're like, wow, this makes this pizza taste so much better. And then they had like sliced wagyu that they put with caviar rolled up in a seaweed wrapper, so it was like a little bite, a little cone loveliness. But they were it's super funny watching them because they're just eating and reacting. And Dave he's terrible as a cook on screen because he keeps screwing up because he's too busy chatting and things are burning, or he's just not paying attention to the food. So some things go wrong, and it's funny. I enjoyed it. Let's see. And then the other thing that's been bugging me, and you and I have talked about this a few times, is why is it that women, well, movies about women or with women as the lead don't do well? I don't understand it. I mean, maybe that's why they played up Anthony Hopkins so heavy in Silence of the Lambs, was they thought, okay, a Jodie Foster driven, you know, thriller isn't so. I may be totally wrong, but he had 16 minutes of screen time. She was on it for 2 hours, and they were they advertised it as the two of them on screen. So, and then with the failure of the Marvels movie, they weren't going to bring Mean Girls out, the new one. They were going to put it directly on Paramount Plus, but everyone's going, come on, this is a better movie than that. And they begrudgingly bring it out in January, which is like, might as well hold a gun to the head of the movie, because that's, nothing does well in January. Not really. It's post Christmas and nobody cares anymore. But you can go back and you can look at a lot of movies that are like this. I mean, even Poor Things didn't do particularly well because it's starring Emma Stone. It's just weird. To me, it's just weird because most of those movies I like better. And I know you can sit there and go, oh, well, Barbie was the biggest movie last year. And its lead is a woman and even the director's a woman. Yeah. But it was also more of an event, more of a,
it was more of a cultural icon, look what's getting the, look what the numbers was. Look at all the accolades that Ryan Gosling is getting from the film.
And not Margot Robbie, yes. Yeah. So you get what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
I just
went through that again with Madame Web.
Yes, another perfect example.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with the movie, but it stars a chick, so we don't get it. We don't want
to. It stars four chicks.
Right.
Each one diverse.
Right. Oh, that's even worse. You're just digging
woke.
Your heart bigger. Yeah, I know. It's it's terrible. But you know, it's and the funny thing is you can't blame Hollywood for being afraid to bring out another one, because you're not gonna want to spend $60 million on a movie and then it only do 12 because your leads, the audience won't go see your leads.
Right.
Because this is an audience thing, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get it, because there's 52% of the country is female. Why aren't they you know, you go to the Taylor Swift concert, why aren't you going to see Madame Web?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in closing out, I just want to let everyone know that there's a lot of movies out there streaming for, you know, for free if you've got the services. But anyway, here it is. Poor Things is now available on Hulu. Mean Girls on Paramount Plus. Killer of the Flower Moon, Flowers of the Killer Moon, and Napoleon are both on Apple. Wonka, Aquaman, the new Aquaman, Barbie, Color Purple, and Priscilla, they're all on Max. Leftovers and Oppenheimer are both on Peacock. Maestro, Nadia, or Nadia, the Swimmer movie with Jodie Foster and Annette Bening, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse and Gran Turismo are all on Netflix. So there's plenty of movies out there to watch. I don't want to hear anyone going, there's never anything on. Well, there's plenty. And that's, well, and beside, I told you about the diarrhea last night. The other thing is that these, because, you know, after the surgery, I was not having any spontaneous erections, and now I can't stop them.
Okay.
Everywhere. Well, everywhere.
There's a lot of men who'd be very, very pleased about that.
I was at Costco with a hard on.
Well, you're probably getting those pre-shelled boiled eggs.
Yeah, no.
That might do it for me, because that sounds pretty damn good right now.
But, you know, at the gym, at we were getting pho, and, you know, I'm like,
which is just a few syllables from food.
And I haven't even taken the pills that day. I haven't even taken a pill that day. And of course, every time I have to get up at night, I've got a pee hard on. And that hasn't happened since I was like 14. So, you know, anyway.
Engine jump.
Yeah, that must be it.
Well, good. Well, let's see. Shows that we watched together, starting with The Bachelor, season 28, Joey. This one says... that's old. How did that happen? I'm sure I changed that.
Wait, what's this? This is a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway.
Trello did something weird.
It was the hometowns. Okay.
Yeah. So it was hometowns. And
We went to, you know, all the hometowns, and they were all okay, except, you know, I mean, I hate the hometowns. I've said this before. I just think it's so rude to force family members to act like this is a real relationship. And the only way you're going to get that is if you got family members that are as thirsty to be on television as you are.
Right. Which apparently some of them were, since they had like three or four generations of people. And this is my cousin Griselda from, you know, from Maine. She flew in special to meet you.
Yeah. So there's that. And then, so all, you know, the first three go well. The one with Maria went well, except at the end she's going, I can't say I love you to him yet. I'm just not ready. And of course, when he goes to the final and has to get rid of one, Maria goes, here, I need to talk to you really quick. So they go talk. Yeah. And she goes, I know I didn't say I loved you. I was falling in love with you. And I was, and it was just, I was so scared. But I want to tell you, before you say what you have to say, I am falling in love with you. And if you're still, you know, if I'm going to leave, I'm going to leave, but I don't want to leave without you knowing that. And she,
Well, spoiler alert, turn it off now. Okay. Anyway. So yeah, she left. He chose the other three over her, which, you know, I was really rooting for Maria. They seem
They're going to be
together.
They're going to be dating. They're going to be dating after this show's over with.
I wouldn't be surprised. They just have a great, there's just something there with them that they click. But I can't blame him for getting rid of her at that point, because she just has been so flighty and back and forth. And
well, she was a lot like the guy with the earring. They liked him. They liked they like these people, but they don't see any fidelity with them that deals with them being a couple. They see, oh, dating and having a good time, but they're, I mean, look at some of these women are so desperate to get married. It's scary to me.
Like,
that's what I like about the men, the bachelors that come in for the bachelorette are not as, let's say,
thirsty
to be married as, I mean, it's like if Joey would come in there and say, and actually say to all the girls, okay, 3-year engagement, 2 years marriage, we're not going to have children for at least 5 to 7 years. I bet you you'd watch the place clear out.
Yeah, like several of them did,
yeah.
At least one of them.
One of them did, and the other girls, you know that was in the back of their mind. Well, yeah. That's not what I want.
Right.
And, you know, and the thing is, it might be different, but, you know, you go into it and you kind of have an idea of what's going on in your mind. And, you know, not everybody wants to have babies right away, because then you can't have, it's kind of like, it's like when you get a pet, you know that you're going to take fewer vacations.
Yeah.
If you have a child, you're going to be doing a lot less of everything, going out to dinner, going to parties, getting up and going to see a show whenever you want, because then it's, you know, who are we going to get to sit with the kids? Who can we trust with the kids?
Yeah.
Let's just stay home.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So right now I'm thinking Daisy, that's the Christmas tree girl, right?
No.
Whatever her name is.
Christmas tree girl is,
I think it's Daisy.
Daisy. Oh, I thought you said Casey. Yeah,
oh,
it's Daisy.
Daisy. So I'm kind of leaning toward her as my pick now that Marie is gone. And then the other two, I mean, they're nice, but I mean, honestly, I think he's probably end up going with Kelsey A, but I don't know. She just seems too immature to me at this point.
She's the first girl he went out with.
Yeah, right? The one who's like, oh, she's been so hurt. Well, they've all been so hurt in some way or another, but
who hasn't? Come on.
I mean, all the women that he picked, they're like, you know, oh, their family's like, they've been so hurt and we're so protective of them.
Oh, well, come on. Of course they're damaged. They're on The Bachelor.
Yeah. So
that's the way it works.
Yeah. Anyway, I just am looking forward to the end of it. We'll see if he hoes himself out during what the fuck do they call it?
Overnights.
Overnights. Okay. So I don't know how I feel about overnights. Before I used to be like, whatever, scandal, go for it, girl. But then some of these, like with what's his name, the tall boy, the one from The Last Bachelor, I was just like, really? You know, your whole thing about I'm not going to have any sex, and then you had sex and the whole world has to know about it. I don't know. Do you really want your spouse watching those back and being all like, I can't believe you had sex with. Who cares? Right.
I get it. I feel the same way. It's just.
You had sex with all three of those women and then chose one the next day. Bizarre. Anyway, let's see.
It just, you know what, it really starts to feel like a bathhouse. It might as well be anonymous. It's so gross.
And, you know, the thing is if it were all men, if it were like a gay series and they did that, I really wouldn't like overly think it, but because it isn't, maybe standard, but it's just weird.
I'll tell you what it is. It's because this is supposed to be like Prince Charming finding Cinderella. And you know what?
Right.
He didn't fuck her out on the steps.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think that you have something there.
I do. It's and that's why I remember it was the because mine was the first bachelorette that did the overnights, and she fucked them all, and I'm
I
like,
know you had like a real issue with that.
oh, it's terrible. I'm looking for my Prince Charming, and I'll go through their dicks to find them. You know, it's like, oh, ew.
Let's
I
hope
mean,
that they're all
granted.
on prep. So,
Granted, I would like to make sure that there's sexual compatibility,
of
but then
course.
that's why I think this whole engagement thing is ridiculous. But I mean, because if you don't enjoy having sex with the person that you're engaged to, that's going to be a problem. So you should have some sort of sex ahead of time. But this show prevents that, except for the overnights, and it's just gross. It's just gross.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So Feud, Capote versus the Swans, episode 7. Are
Is this the
you?
last episode?
Well, I think so, although usually they do 8, but they both died at the end of this episode. Like the two main characters died. So I
But
don't
did Capote
know.
die? Does Capote die at the end? Oh, okay, then yeah, that's got to be the end.
That's got So episode 7. It was actually a very beautiful episode and very well done. I mean, for me, there's a part of me that's like, come on, this is going so slow. But honestly, it wrapped it up really well. But was there a big feud? Enough, I guess, to call it feud. But the rest of it, I mean, it was well done. It was a beautiful series. Just some of it, it didn't hit my feud bone. So, did you watch it?
I did not. And no, there's 8 episodes.
Oh, so there's another one coming. Okay. I don't know what they're gonna do, but we'll see. But yeah, at least this one, they're both dead, so.
Well, that's weird. It says he doesn't die. It says he wants to finish it. Truman makes the final push to finish answered prayers. So he's not dead.
Well, Joanne Carson called and called his ex and Jack and said he died, so.
Maybe you watched episode 8 and didn't realize it.
It fucking said 7. I'll look it up later.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It said 7. Well, we'll see. Maybe. But I looked up answered
Oh,
prayers and
wait a
actually
minute. It says March 13th, so that's tomorrow. Okay, yes.
okay, so now who I don't know, maybe we were misled. All
Yeah.
right. Anyway, so then Halo season 2, you caught up on that?
Yes.
Okay, so last night was a really good episode, or last episode was actually really good. There was a lot of action to it. There was some story to it. We actually saw like some depth in the characters, and boom. So this is what I want.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, give me
Well,
story I
especially.
can understand and good action and characters I care about.
And that last episode, though, was just yang, 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 yang,
Yeah, the
yang,
one
yang,
before
yang.
it's like, okay, we need to stretch. We're an episode short. We need to stretch.
Yeah.
But this one was good. And this is what Halo should be. So, excellent.
Agree.
All right. So, as far as my week, yesterday was mother's eye surgery. She had cataract surgery on her left eye. And so we ended up basically doing that yesterday morning. That was most of the morning till early afternoon. It went well. She came out with a great big old huge metal octopus stuck on her face. And, we got home and we both had to take a nap, but it went very well. And we went to the doctor today and he said everything looks really good. And so, yeah. Next week we get to do it again on the other eye. So there's that. I really didn't watch hardly anything. I watched a couple episodes of Discovery season 2. Heading with Captain Pike, and it's just such a good show. I don't know why I struggled with the first episode or the first season the first time I watched it. It's a really great show, and season two is just even better. So, and then I didn't catch up on Tracker. I did get to watch an episode of Logan's Run, the TV show from like 1978. Ish, when Heather was here, and it's really fun. If you love 70s sci-fi shows, you know, like the Battlestar Galactica and things like that, this is a really good one. Just go look it up and see if you can find it. It's pretty fun. Gregory Harrison's in it, and he's quite beautiful. So, and then we have, well, that was pretty much my week. I have some movies that I want to catch up on and watch, but I just have not been in the place to do that. So, all right, let's move into advice.
Okay.
What the fuck? See, Trello, something's going on with Trello. You know what? We might just not have advice for this episode.
Oh, no.
So, but basically this is, okay, so the basic gist of this one is that a grandmother's writing in and she's very upset because her daughter divorced her husband, and the kids who are early teens
I
are
have it here. You don't have it?
what? But
Thank
it
you.
cut off the first part of it that's set
Oh,
up.
okay. Got it. Got it. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, anyway, but basically she the kids are going on about how the dad is so wonderful and his new girlfriend, not who is not the one he was cheating on the mother with.
Okay.
She left. So this is a new girlfriend, but how the father and the girlfriend are so great, and they have all this money, and their house is cooler, and they have new laptops and big TVs, and how everything is so fun over there, and they want to go live with him, but and they dump on the mother who's the one that has the full custody, but also has to be the more authoritarian one, and so of course. Her mother is saying, the daughter is an amazing parent, but the kids are only seeing the flash, and so she's very angry with the kids for this. And her question is, do I say anything? What am I missing?
Well, basically, it says that the kids love they love the father, even though the father was the one who broke up the family. And
And they're kind of blaming the mother
so
because they
he
don't
lied to
know
the
that he
children
cheated.
as much as he lied to his wife, and yet he is the one they want to see happy even more than their own mother.
Right, exactly.
Well, the thing is, we don't know the relationship between the children and their parents, because I mean, I've known plenty of people who, even though you had a distant father, he was a better father than the mother was. I've seen that with a bunch of my friends, and vice versa. So, I think that, I mean, could the mother just be an asshole? Is that why the father cheated? I mean, and honestly, sure, the father did lie to the kids as much as he lied to his wife, but he cheated on his wife, not on the kids. So, I don't know. And how, we don't know how old the kids are, do we?
No.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's, I'm surprised, but, I mean, if you what live in squalor, swallow, 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 if you live like shit, or you can go over to dad's house where everything's new and up to date, and that might be more attractive to some younger kids too. So it's like, why do kids like their parents get divorced? Because they get two Christmases.
Right. Well, it sounds like they like him and his new girlfriend but they basically want the mom not to get remarried or have a boyfriend. So anyway, you just got to let them grow out of it. If they get to a certain age and they're still doing it, you know, you can smack them down with it. But from coming from a divorced home and everything, you just got to let them grow out of it. They'll get it. But I also kind of, to Nephi's chagrin, I do agree with you in that he can be, he fucked up with her, but he can still be a good dad. So, anyway. Right. Well, let's see what somebody else's mom had to say about it. If your grandchildren are unaware of their father's unfaithfulness, it's possible they view their mother as having something to do with why their dad isn't living with them. And since they're with their mom more than their father, I'd venture to guess that she's the one who has to handle the discipline issues and the challenges that are part of active daily parenting, likely making her the less fun parent in their eyes. Over the time, and as children grow older and hopefully more mature, they might begin to see things in a different light. But for now, it sounds like they're potentially picking the crowd pleaser over the authority. Sure.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So, but one of these days, you're going to find out that dads are just horrible people. No, just kidding. Moving on. All right. Hey, Chubbs. Timothy asks, when was the last time you were embarrassed?
You go ahead and start.
I wish I could. We might have to come back to this one because
Yeah, this is one I just can't think of, you know, the last time right off the top of my head. You should have said, read these things and think about them.
I mean, I can tell you a time that I know that I was embarrassed. I don't know about the last time I was embarrassed, but one time I was embarrassed is when they switched the bathroom things around at one of the movie theaters, and I didn't realize that the old men's bathroom was now the women's bathroom. And I went in and peed in one of the stalls and then heard female voices and realized that I was in the wrong place. So and of course they weren't leaving. So I had to walk out and I basically just put my hand over my eyes so I could only see the ground. And when I was passing the women who I knew were looking at me, I just said, I am so embarrassed. I am. And they just laughed as I walked out. So, yeah.
Well, one thing I was embarrassed about was that we were at Food Co. We were going to go shopping, and Sean comes dressed in fluffy black, like they're like lounge pants, but they're kind of fluffy. They're not furry, but it's fluffy material. He's wearing socks. Socks in his slippers, his Croc slippers, and he's wearing basically a the closest thing you can get to a pajama top without calling it pajamas. Okay. And like, I can't believe you're going to the store like this. And I'm so embarrassed. And then we're standing in line and I look at the guy in the next line and he's a younger guy and he's got slippers on. He's wearing pajama bottoms and he's got some top on I don't know what it was. I don't remember now, but I just remember going, okay, I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah. It is. I have seen a lot of younger people that just wear pajama type stuff. Okay. Yeah, different. All right. Hey, Chubbs, what music album would you have loved to have sit in on while it was being recorded from beginning to end?
See, this is another hard one.
Well, you know, for me, I was thinking that you know, I could very easily say one of Corey's albums, like Fields of Fire or something like that. But I've seen some of the studio stuff for The Greatest Showman. And like every time I watch it and they're just having such a freaking blast. And I'm like, wow, that would have been really, really, really fun to sit in on.
Yeah, but the cast album probably wouldn't have been as much fun as the filming of the show.
Well, no, but have you seen like the stuff when they run the numbers for the first time and they're all in like the same room singing the songs?
No.
Like, if you haven't seen those, you should watch them because I mean, it'll make you like for just a few seconds be like, oh man, I would love to do theater again. And if feeling goes away, but I'm just saying, you
Well,
should watch it.
for me, I would probably, I mean, I would love, to sit in on a Carpenters album or a Barry Manilow album, or, Streisand's, the album she did with Barry Gibb, Guilty,
Oh, yeah.
but then I'm just seeing one person. So I'm going to say I'd like to have been in sitting in on the recording session, which obviously didn't take place all at one time, but if it did, I'd say for Saturday Night Fever, because I think that would be so phenomenal to say, oh, I sat there and watched the album being recorded. That would have been very cool, especially watching how it got recorded, because they had so many different artists, including the Bee
Yes.
Gees. But then again, I'm thinking, wow, it would have been really cool to, I can, because I have a group of albums that I, place as the, I have my five favorite albums of all times. And let's see, that is not that. It is not that. No, it's wrong for, oh, here it is. Boz Scaggs' Silk Degrees, Barbra Streisand's Guilty album, Christopher Cross's Another Page, Billy Joel's Stranger album,
Yes.
or Michael Jackson's Thriller.
That's another one. Actually, that would have been a great one to sit through. I saw some of the studio sessions for that. That would
But like I
you know,
said,
and that's another thing is that he was such a genius back then.
yes. Well, yes. I mean, honestly, I know I sound old, but I look back at on some of these albums back, because they don't really make, who makes albums anymore? Taylor Swift. Everybody else, they make singles.
Yeah.
And so the age of the album is over for the most part. And you look back and you go, because I mean, I can pick a couple of, the Manilows or Carpenters, but to honestly say, step back and say, look at these albums, look at all the hits, look at everything on these albums. It, yeah. See, because, like one of my favorites is the Billy Joel Stranger album. I love that album.
Album.
And but then I'd just be sitting there watching Billy Joel play for an hour. And granted, that's not a bad thing, but I just think it should be, for me, it feels like it needs to be more historical.
Yeah, I get that. Oh shoot.
What happened?
Oh, I was gonna say my thought left me. These days I almost feel like we shouldn't be calling when, you know, like when they release a new, I almost feel like it should be called a collection rather than an album because I mean, I guess, you know, they can print it or put it on a CD or whatever, but it's still just, it feels different now.
This is something that you might find interesting. I found this thing that says the 50 top-selling albums worldwide, and these are not greatest hits albums. These are just albums that were brought out, whether it's a soundtrack or whether it's a a comp, somebody's album. It's not, there's no spe no greatest hits, because one of the biggest albums of all times has always been the Eagles' Greatest Hits Part One. Sold like a zillion albums, but that's greatest hits. So, what do you think the number one biggest selling album of all times is?
thriller.
Yep. Six, 65.8 million copies.
Wow.
The next closest is 22 million copies less. And that's Pink Floyd's The Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh.
And then from there, it's Whitney Houston's The Bodyguard album, the Grease album, Led Zeppelin 4, AC/DC Back in Black, Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, the Bee Gees' Saturday Night Fever, Michael Jackson's Bad, and number 10 is Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Edge.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and Jagged Little Edge sold 33.6 million copies.
Huh. That's pretty.
And it goes all the way down to number 50, which was Whitney Houston's Whitney album. It came out in 1987.
I had that. That was such a good album.
But what freaks me out about this is that you look at these people. Michael Jackson had two albums in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Whitney Houston has, I think, two or three in the top 50, which surprised me. I didn't realize she sold albums. Yeah, there's she has three, counting the Bodyguard soundtrack, and which she was the only one singing on, so it counts. But it's weird. Celine Dion's got a couple albums in the top 50, which I wouldn't have thought she sold that many albums. Even I mean the Beatles aren't in the top 10. What? You know, so it's interesting to see. And nowadays you look at those, and when I was talking to Sean about this, I go, you look at this, and besides Taylor Swift, you're not going to see anybody breaking the top 50.
Right.
Because, well, even the funny thing, even Taylor Swift, when her album comes out, the Swifties buy the singles. They don't buy the album for some reason. I don't get that. Or maybe they buy the album and the singles because they love her so much. Whatever, that's weird, but they do. The fact is that when her album comes out, I don't know which album it was, but one album came out and she was 8 of the top 10 singles for the week.
Yeah, she actually, I think there was one point where she had the entire top 10.
I wouldn't doubt that, but that's because it's a different world now. People can buy the single and not, you know, you can go, oh yeah, I like that Michael Jackson album. I'm just going to buy Thriller though. I don't like it all. I just want Thriller. Oh, I'll get Billie Jean tune. That's it. Those two. That's all I'm getting. And it's like, okay. That's sad because some of my favorite songs have been singles. The B-sides of singles are the song on the album that no one talks about.
Right.
So, and it's funny because the Barry Manilow's fan club on Facebook had a thing saying, okay, besides the hits, so besides the singles, you can't choose those. Mm-hmm. What are your favorite Barry Manilow songs? And everybody had two or three. It was funny. They said, name one. And everyone's putting like, well, I really like this one. I really like this one. I really like this one. And half the time it's like, okay, that was a single. Not the singles.
Right.
But everyone had a not the single. And it was quite interesting. I actually saw Billy Joel on Stephen Colbert. And Stephen Colbert said, so if you were at a Billy Joel concert, he goes, well, I would be. And he goes, yes, but you're actually there to see it. You're not there to be in the concert. He goes, okay, what song are you hoping Billy Joel sings tonight? And he said, give me your top five. And I remember Vienna was one, which I love. And I can't remember. There was, I think it was his lullaby to his daughter was one. But his number one pick to see at a Billy Joel concert was Scenes from the Italian Restaurant. You know, that's the one.
Okay.
With the populace steady and the king and the queen. With the yeah. And it's quite spectacular seeing it in live, because I saw him down in Los Angeles, and that song is just it's crazy because it goes in it's so many different directions, and it's so the change of the melody and what it's a storytelling song. It's such a good song. I just love it. I'm sorry, I went on a rant.
That's okay. That my first Billy Joel was An Innocent Man, and that's the one where I learned, and picked up all the hits. I mean, where he had, Uptown Girl and et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, that's how I came to know him. And there were I would just listen to that album over and over and over and over and over.
Well, and his first greatest hits volume, it's Greatest Hits Volume 1 and 2 is just like it's gold. It's
Yeah.
gold.
And my mom was obsessed with River of Dreams for a long time. Okay. So, what's in your lunchbox? Mr. Moose wrote in, and well, okay, before we get into that, let me just say, if you want to send anything to Hey Chubbs, just send it to chubbsgonewild@gmail.com. And thank you, Timothy, for the questions you've been sending. They have been really good and thought-provoking. Okay. What's in your lunchbox? Mr. Moose wrote in and said,
This is pizza.
they left the olives off the pizza. Oh, the humanity. Still good. It's funny because whenever we get pizza from Winco and bring it home to cook, Heather picks off all the olives because she
Oh,
doesn't.
I hate olives on pizza.
I'm okay if they're.
Is a dog in the house and you can flick him on the floor?
Oh gosh, no, olives are bad for dogs anyway. No, if they're, how do I say it?
You can do it.
If they're subtle, if they're umami, if they've got that sharp olive flavor, no thank you. Anyway, I don't, anyway, so also bought a piece of tiramisu while grocery shopping. So good. Creamy with a hint of coffee. It does look really good. I love that creamy stuff in there. Also,
He just kills me with how many desserts this
I
man
know.
eats. And the way
I'm
he looks, how
jealous.
does he look that great and still eat all these desserts?
Working out 8 hours a day, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Because when Sean eats something like this, the next day he punishes himself at the gym. This is what you're going to have to do to pay off that cake yesterday. And I'm like, okay, you're just.
You want thin? Well, right here's where you start paying.
Yeah.
Cheesecake, plain cheesecake, hard to beat, strawberry and whipped cream garnish. Beautiful.
It
Absolutely.
has that New York kind of look, that cheesecake kind of look, because it's
No.
very firm, but yet still very creamy in your mouth.
Oh.
It's very good, very good.
Well, the problem with living within walking distance of a good bakery is that it's too easy to buy a treat. This is a lemon Napoleon. Really good. Wow.
We've got a new place opening up called the Forgotten Bakery, and I guess they're from San Francisco. And they make bagels and empanadas. Like that's all,
Wow.
sounds like that's all they make. So, and they're halfway between here and the gym, very dangerous. But they're going to open up any day now. I'm very excited because they show some pictures from the old place. And empanadas, you know what they are, right?
Yes.
Okay. So
Yummy.
the empanadas look fantastic. And the bagels, they it looks like they do sandwiches, so they have all sorts of stuff in them, and they're, oh my God, it just looks so good. So hoping for the best.
Yes. Well, thank you, Mr. Moose, for sending that in. Also, we have something from Mr. Scott here. And he sends in, where is it? Okay. Hi, Chubb, Scott here. Here's what is in our lunchbox. We went to Foster's Freeze, got a classic cheeseburger, large fries, and a drink. The fries there are delicious. Then another day, we went to Panera Bread, had my favorite tomato soup. I usually have more croutons than soup. It is delicious. I have not been to Foster's Freeze in I don't know how long. I don't even know if they have them here anymore.
Yeah, they do, but they're in the Wiener Schnitzel, or the Wiener Schnitzel.
Oh, okay. So actually, I take that back. I have had a cone from them a couple months ago, I think.
Yeah, that's. I don't know if they do the Foster Freeze food though, but they do
I don't
the
think
ice cream.
so, but
But I want to mention this crouton thing. I do this too.
Yeah.
Especially like in stew or in chili. Because you think about it, when you have stew, it's always nice to dip your French bread or your sourdough bread in it and eat the to kind of break down some of the extra juice. Mm. Same thing with chili. And if it's a thick soup, yes, I don't do it with a thin soup because it just soaks up too quickly. But a thick soup, definitely croutoned. And yes, it can be more than the soup. Actually, it was so funny. We did salads, and he put this. He makes, first of all, he makes too much salad when he makes salad. Mm. You want to say too much? It's not just it's volume, but as well as things he puts in it. It's got, he's got the lettuce, he's got the tomato, he's got the onions, he's got the cucumbers, he's got the cheese, he's got the bacon. He keeps throwing things into it, right? Yeah. I'm pretty happy with some tomatoes and some lettuce and some croutons and some dressing. And that's the standard
chef's
house salad, you know.
Okay.
And I'm pretty happy with that. But then it's like, you know, then he started throwing in fruit. Oh, we'll put in some grapes. We'll throw in some raisins. We'll throw in some. And then it's just like, before too long, I don't know what I'm tasting. It's just it's like a hodgepodge of stuff. It's just, he keeps, and he'll put two or three different kinds of cheeses in. Oh, he'll put some like Mexican cheese, and he'll put in some feta. And then, oh, look, we got some mozzarella. And I'm like, okay. Just no.
Right.
But whatever you want yours, I'll do my own.
Yeah. Okay. I got it. Yeah. When I make a salad, I usually make it kind of like that, but not as much. Not as
much. It's just I don't think I've actually seen him at a salad bar with the salads. He would probably just go to everything and put everything in. From each little cubby, you know, oh, here's the croutons, here's the raisins, here's the sunflower seeds, here's the beets. Oh, yeah, he loves putting beets in there too, which I'm fine with, but I like a beet salad. I don't want beets mixed up with, you know, halved grapes and chopped egg. And, you know, it's just, it's too much.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Scott, for sending that in. We really appreciate it. And Mr. Moose, if you want to send us what's in your lunchbox, just send it to chubscomewild@gmail.com. All right. Golden Rule Services want you to know about an important tool in preventing you from contracting HIV. PrEP is a medication proven to be 99% effective when preventing HIV infection. To learn more about PrEP, visit sacgrs.org. Find Tom's other podcast at swannerandjudd.com. Find my books at justkisstheguy.com. Find all our links at allmylinks.com/chubsgonewild. And give us a call at
408-69-CHUBS.
Yes. Now, don't forget, we will not be here next week. So,
So take a vacation.
Save half the show for later and watch it next week.
Take a vacation next week, and we'll see you in two.
That's true. All right, we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Love you.
A network of inclusion.
Univazpods.net.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
This has been a, for fuck's sake, production.